Gaping in awe. That's where the disciples, where we hear about them this morning. They are standing there, and all of a sudden, Jesus goes into heaven, and they're left with their mouths hanging wide open. Well, I would be too, frankly. Imagine just having that happen right in front of your very own eyes. And so they are standing there, wondering probably what to do next. And two men in white come along and say, "What are you doing? Just standing here. Go. Go back. Go home." And so they do. They go home, back to Jerusalem, and continue on with their lives. But it's not quite that simple, is it? They don't just continue on with their lives. This is the Acts of the Apostles we've heard from. They act. They take that moment, all the experiences and moments of wonder that they've experienced, and they go home, and they act. They don't keep it to themselves. They don't hide it in a room. They don't just not share it. They go out and proclaim to the world about Jesus, about the life they have found in him, and the wonder and the joy and the incredible unconditional love. And that's what they do when they go home. When holiness breaks in on us, when sacredness hits us, it is natural to stand gaping in awe. You know those moments, each one of you has had them, when all of a sudden something happens and the world is a little different, it shifts. It's brighter, perhaps, or happier, or more lovely, or you just have a sense of great peace. I remember at our parish council retreat in March, I think it was Leslie, actually, who spoke about how every time she comes to this church, one of those moments happens. Now, it better happen today, now that I've said that, right, Leslie? But it's true. And that's why we keep coming back in many ways, because whether it's a word in the sermon or a strain of music or the community one encounters here, or just the simple grace of God that we experience in this sacred space, there are moments and sacred moments that touch our lives deeply. And as a community, we gather those. We've brought them together over the years. Think of all the people who've sat in all these pews before you that have had one of those sacred, holy moments. If not every week, at some point when they came into this beautiful building. That's a lot of holiness. That's a lot of sacredness for us to stand and gape in awe at. But we are not called to stand and gape. We're called to act, if as much and even more so perhaps than the apostles in their day. We are called to be stewards of those moments of holiness, those moments of grace, the sacredness we've received. You've heard me talk about stewarding before, around money, around time and talents and energy. But today I want to talk about stewardship in terms of our space, our sacred space, because that is a gift that has been given to us. We're plumped here pretty strongly on the corner of Somerset and Elgin. And we've held this space for a long time, many years, and we hold it in trust for the Diocese of Ottawa, and we care for it with our money and our time and all of the energy that I know people have put into this place. This morning, as I polished a bit of brass before the service, that's a wonderful thing to do while I think about what I might say to you in the morning, I thought of all the hands that had polished a bit of brass before me. What a great gift for us to continue that on year after year, week after week. And yet it's not just for us. We heard today about Jesus saying that what is heaven? It is to experience the presence and the sacredness and the gift of God. Well, we have that in this place, but it's not just for us. It is for the people outside the walls that don't perhaps know what's here, perhaps don't know what they're looking for, perhaps don't even know what would help. But we as Christians, as Anglicans, as people who come to St. John's are called to take that into the world. There is a holiness that we each carry, and we must be good stewards of that. because that is our responsibility, our right, and our deep, deep privilege. This morning, we will meet to talk about our space, about this sacred space, about opening it up a little, making better steps so we don't have any accidents on the way out of church. I don't have to keep catching people as they fall out the doors. Making an entranceway that is inviting and gracious and air and light-filled, and opening up the church so there is glass and people can see into this beautiful space. Making it accessible to all, having a ramp so that everyone has a beautiful entrance through which to come into this place. Now, whether we approve this or not, it's not up to me, it's up to you. But I want you to think about it as our trust, as our responsibility for this space, because it's not just ours. Remember, we hold it in trust, and not just for the diocese, but for the presence of God in this place, in this city, in this time. Now, when I grew up, and probably most of you, a church was a place of sanctuary. I remember that I knew where the key was hidden for my home parish, because it was in the country and everybody knew where the key was hidden, unless you were a stranger, and that's how you didn't know how to get in. And so I would often take myself down late at night, because as a teenager, and like many maybe of you, I was troubled from time to time, and I would go down at night and let myself into the dark church and sit in that sacred space. What a gift. What a great gift. And so we often take it for granted. I could do that. My friends, if I took them with me, could as well, but they were strangers, most of them, and they would have to have a guide. The idea here is that we don't want strangers to feel strange. At least I don't. I would like them to be welcome and to experience that sense of sacredness and holiness which each one of us feels in this place. Opening the doors, making it more accessible, will that just bring the crowds from Elgin Street in? No, I'm not a fool. But I do know that being transparent and being open about who we are and what we do in here, it's not a secret society, will be more opening to those around us. Every time I go to the Ministry of Coffee next door, which is at least once a day, I look in the window as I go in. I look in to see if there's anyone in there as I'm going in that I might see. I look to see what the special is on the board. I look to see if the two owners are there so I can greet them by name. Imagine what it would be like to be able to come to St. John's and to be able to look in and see what the special is today. To look in and see who will greet them. To look in and see other members of the community here. And even if it's empty, to see the grace and the power that this place holds. But it doesn't stop there. It's not just for people to look in and to come in. It's for us to go out. Jesus did not do everything he did for us to stand and gape. He did it so that we would have life and that we would share that life. And it's our right, responsibility, and privilege to take that out into the world. When I was at Ashbury, I told you this before, but the doors at the Ashbury Chapel are beautiful. Beautiful wooden doors, gorgeously carved. And when I arrived, there hadn't been a chaplain full-time for 4 years. And the doors were closed, and the chapel was dark, and the brass hadn't been polished, and I don't know the last time the carpet had been cleaned. The first week I was there, I opened the doors and the windows and polished the brass and made sure the carpet was cleaned. And then the second week, the headmaster said to me, "It smells different in here." And I said, "I opened the windows." And he said, "I didn't know they opened." And I kept one side of the door always propped open and the lights on. The environmental people weren't happy with me. We were supposed to be saving electricity. And I said, "If you would like to save electricity, then you need to put those lights things, the sensors, that when you walk in, the lights come on, because I will not turn the lights off in the chapel when school is in session." It will be a place of light and bright and open doors for all to use. Now, at first, they just thought this was a weird thing about the new chaplain. You're learning some of those about me anyway. And it was, perhaps. But actually, over time, it changed the nature of the chapel. I would go by on my way to do something else, and I would see a student in there, perhaps tying a prayer onto the prayer net. Or I would see a staff member sitting quietly, perhaps preparing for the next class. And I'll never forget the day I was in changing the frontal on the altar when two young men came racing in, crossed themselves, threw themselves down on the kneelers, said a prayer, got up, crossed themselves, and went to run out the door. And I said, "Boys, what you doing?" And they said, "We have a test in 5 minutes." I said, "Well, may it go well. Blessings." And off they went. So that space that had been closed and empty became alive and once again the heart of the school. And so it is a great joy for me when I visit and people say, "Thank you for leaving the doors open." So at St. John's, we have doors. They resemble the ones at Ashbury, heavy, closed, dark. And it's worse here because you come in those doors and then you're still in a heavy, dark hole. Excuse that, but it's true. And so you have to get past that. And so I would like for us, of course, to not be dark, but to be open and filled with light, that those on the street may come in and that we don't trip going out onto the street because it is dark. Because we actually have a lot of light to take out there. So this change in society, where they don't see it as a sanctuary anymore, it's a place of mystery. And it's our right, our privilege, our responsibility to be stewards of that mystery, that privilege we have of sharing the holiness that we encounter in this space. And so may we not just gape in awe at the drawings at 11:45 or gape in awe at the fear of not having enough money, but may we be blessed with the spirit of holiness, of sacredness, of stewardship, of care and concern for the world in which we have landed in. And may we take that grace and peace and blessing of God home. Amen.